Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
The title of the message this evening is Testify Unto Them, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I've got my Bible tonight from when I was in Bible college. I've always used a bunch of different Bibles, but this one still had this message in it. This is about a 22 or 23-year-old message that I have in here. But I have looked over it and decided that the Lord would want us to preach this again this evening. This will be a little bit different. This will not be up on the only slide you'll get is this one. So that's the only slide. So the rest of it we can follow along in our Bibles. But we would normally have an evangelist that would not be using the slides anyway. So Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, testify unto them. And we'll read a couple of verses and we'll begin. Verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray that you would bless us tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I do pray if anyone here is not saved, does not know you as Savior, that you would convict them and save them tonight. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. The story that we see in Luke chapter 16, some people think it's a parable, and some people think it's a real story of something that really happened. And it doesn't really matter whether it's a parable or whether it is a real story, because it teaches the same thing. Actually, if you look in Luke chapter 16, and if you were to go to verse 1 of Luke chapter 16, Jesus begins to tell a parable, and he says, "He said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man." There was a certain rich man. And then if you look in verse 19, which is part of this story of the rich man and Lazarus, the Bible says there was a certain rich man. That's interesting how the two things are there. And then if you were to look in verse 13 in the middle of this, the Bible says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon," or money. And then in verse 14, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and derided him." So this entire passage is directed towards the Pharisees, who were covetous and who believed that rich people were blessed of God, and therefore rich people would automatically go to heaven because they were obviously blessed of God. The Pharisees also would have thought that a poor man like this beggar in the story was cursed by God, and so they would have thought that he would have been the one to go to hell. And yet in this story, the rich man goes to hell and the poor man goes to heaven. And therefore, the point of this story, or at least one of the points of it, is to show the Pharisees that rich people can go to hell, and thus to show them that they themselves are lost and they need to be saved. So as we look in this story, the Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So this story is directed towards the Pharisees. And the reason why people think it is not a parable is because it uses names. It talks about the beggar whose name was Lazarus. And in no other parable did Jesus use a person's name. So that's one thing that would say it's not a parable. However, even if it is a parable, we need to understand several things about parables. One, parables are not allegories. An allegory is a story where something equals something else. Parables are not like that. Jesus told parables. When he told parables and he talked about things, he talked about physical things that we can relate to. And when he's talking about hell here and this description of hell and this description of the rich man and this description of his gate that Lazarus laid at, then he's talking about things that we can relate to. We don't have to look at this and say, well, the fire in hell symbolizes this and the water symbolizes this and this means this. It's not like that because that's not how parables work. And so regardless, this is a description of hell, whether it's a real story or whether it's a parable, it's still a description and an accurate description of hell. So the Bible says in verse 21 that this beggar, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The first thing we see is that this man had tears. We see his tears. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Hell is a place of tears. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, and verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of fire. Somebody says, do you believe that there's literal fire in hell, or do you believe that that symbolizes something? Well, when Jesus says, I'm a simple person, I take the Bible simply, and so when Jesus says fire, and he says fire, and he says fire, and he says fire, then I believe there's fire in hell. So hell is a place of tears. The second thing we see is this man's torment, his torment. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We want to notice that hell is a real place. It's a real place. It's just as real as Dalton, Georgia. It's a real physical place. And it's a place where this man went. It was a place of fire, and it was a place where he was able to talk to Abraham afar off. It's a real place. The second thing is, there are real people in hell, real people. There are not some fantasy or spirits floating around in hell, but hell is full of real people who have died without Jesus Christ. Anyone who dies without Jesus Christ will spend eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. The Bible says, Jesus says, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That word condemned means that he has been brought to a trial, he's been found guilty, and he's been sentenced. And the condemned sinner is simply waiting for his heart to stop beating, and then he will be separated from God forever in a place the Bible calls hell, if he doesn't trust Christ before then. And so, hell has real people in it. If this rich man was a real person and not a person in a parable, then this rich man is in hell today. The third thing we notice is that there are real bodies in hell. People have real bodies. Notice what this says. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He had eyes. He was able to see. And the Bible says he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. So he had a tongue. And he had a body that could feel torment. When a person dies, we understand that their body is buried in the ground, and their soul and spirit go to either heaven or hell. The Bible says of believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we understand that when we die, we're separated from our bodies, and either if you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're lost, you go to hell. But some way in hell, and I believe in heaven as well, God gives us some kind of body to clothe. In some way, our soul and spirit are clothed, so that in hell this man had eyes that could see, and he had a tongue, and he had a body that could feel the heat. So in some way, God has that happen. And so, real bodies in hell. Now, the second or the third thing we've seen is tears, his torment. The third thing we see is his testimony in verse 28. And I'm going to read on down, starting in verse 25, down to 28. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. We see his testimony was that he didn't want his brothers to go to hell. Now, you will notice about this rich man that this man was a religious man. You say, why was he religious? Well, he was religious because he called Abraham his father, Father Abraham. He was a Jew. He was a good Jew. He was a religious man. The other thing is he was a very charitable man. This rich man, a lot of people think he was a bad guy, and I used to think this too, because he let Lazarus lay at his gate. But the fact is that the fact that he let Lazarus lay at his gate was an act of charity. He could have had him cleared off. But instead he let him lay at his gate, and he provided him with the scraps of food from his table, which was probably pretty good. So this man was a charitable man. So he was charitable. He was also religious, yet he died and went to hell. And so that means, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that many shall say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The truth of the matter is, there's people that sit in churches that will die and go to hell. There's people that have been baptized that will die and go to hell. There's people that have professed to even do miraculous things and to cast out demons and to do all those kind of things that will die and go to hell. Do not deceive yourself. If you have not been born again, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ and been genuinely born again, you will die and go to hell to burn forever. Now, I don't say that with joy. You know, they used to say to the preachers, I used to hear this, if you preach on hell, always preach with tears. Well, I never preach with tears, okay? I cannot force myself to cry, but I do preach with compassion. So if I tell you that there's a real hell, I'm not doing that with some kind of joy or glee. I'm telling you that because I have compassion. I care about you, and I want to warn you that if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says here, it's interesting if we look in verse 28, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. This man's concern was for his five brothers. His five brothers. He had five brothers that were lost, that were on their way to hell, and he wanted somebody to come to them from the dead to testify unto them. And verse 29, and Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one came one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now that was true of the Pharisees. Remember, this is directed to the Pharisees. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will but they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Pharisees had the Bible. By the way, we have the Bible. And the Pharisees, Jesus said, would, if they wouldn't hear the Bible, which prophesied of Jesus Christ, then they would not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This man's testimony was that he wanted his five brothers to be saved. The lost from hell. I believe that if this man's still alive, that he's still suffering today, and I believe that people that have died and gone to hell, just like this man, they want their family to not come to hell. Do you think if a person dies that the first thing they think when they got into hell was, boy, I hope the rest of my family comes here? Certainly not. And this man's concern for his five brothers is the same concern that people that have died and gone to hell have for their family. And so the lost from hell cry to us, testify unto them, tell them not to come to this place of torment. Not only so, but the lost on earth cry, testify unto us, tell us how to avoid coming to this place of torment. You know, the devil's lie is that most people don't want to know how to be saved. The great majority of, I'll give my own testimony. I would have loved to have had somebody tell me how to be saved. I was afraid to ask, but I wanted to know how to be saved when I was a young teenager. I was afraid to ask because I'd grown up in church. I was afraid to say, hey, I don't know that I'm saved. But I would have loved to have had somebody tell me how to be saved. And the truth of the matter is that the results that we're hearing when Johnny and I went to the meetings and we're hearing about people going door to door is that the great majority of people that are getting the Jesus film are grateful for somebody coming to their door and bringing it to them. Now think about that. People are not seeking God naturally, but God seeks them. And so there are people that God's been dealing with them that want to know how to be saved. And the devil's lie is, well, if you witness to people, they're going to reject you. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to be mean to you. That may be true in some instances, but the great majority of people that you take the time to tell them this is how you go to heaven when you die will be appreciative of the fact that you told them. That's the truth. Testify unto them. The lost on earth cry, testify unto us. Also the Lamb from heaven cries, testify unto them. Jesus Christ died for sinners and He wants sinners to know how to be saved. By the way, the Bible tells us in this passage why this rich man went to hell. He didn't go to hell because he was rich, obviously. But there is a reason he went to hell, and the Bible tells us. The Bible says in verse 30, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. So there you have the reason that the rich man went to hell, because he didn't repent. And the reason why he knew that if his brothers did not repent, they would also go to hell. Why do people go to hell? Because they don't repent. They don't repent. It would help us to understand what it means to repent. A lot of people say, repent, repent. If you don't want to go to hell, repent. But it would help us to understand what it means to repent. So, just to explain it in the simplest way possible, the word repentance simply means to have a change of mind. But it doesn't mean to just have a superficial change of mind when we're talking about saving repentance. When we're talking about gospel repentance, what it's talking about is having a radical change of mind. Now, this is a change of mind that comes from the work of the Holy Ghost. But this change of mind that God wants you to have is a change of mind that says, I am a sinner and I can do nothing to save myself. Only Jesus Christ can save me. Amen. This change of mind also is never separate from faith. In fact, there's no such thing as saving repentance without faith. If a person... First of all, a person's not going to repent unless they believe the message being preached. It just makes no sense. When John the Baptist came and he preached, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, why would the people repent if they didn't believe that the kingdom of heaven was at hand? Nobody repents if they don't believe the message being preached. And therefore, repentance always is combined with faith. They're like two sides of the same coin. Somebody talks about, well, if a person believes and they don't repent, then are they really saved? Well, the truth of the matter is, they're two sides of the same coin. If you have a penny, the side that has Lincoln's face on it is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin has the, what's on the other side of a penny? Anybody know?
Building, whatever it is.
It's probably the Lincoln Memorial, something like that. We'll say that's what it is. All right? They're two sides of the same coin, okay? Well, the coin is one whole coin, but it has two sides to it. So a person who believes in Jesus Christ repents, and a person who repents believes in Jesus Christ. It would be like I could say, for instance, I could say I'm going to leave Harmony Baptist Church and go to Dalton. Or I could say, I'm going to go to Dalton. Now see, if I say I'm going to Dalton, everybody understands. If I say I'm going to go outside, that would be better. If I say I'm going to go outside, everybody understands I'm going to have to walk out of the church to go outside, right? And so, if Jesus says in the Gospel of John, over 90 times the Bible says believe, the word repent is not used one time in the Gospel of John. But everybody understands that if a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they repent. And if they repent, then you can't just say, well, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, because that's not going to help you. The thing is, if I realize I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I can do nothing to save myself, then the next natural thing is to say, who can save me? And to look in faith to Jesus Christ to save you. And so, if you've never been saved tonight, if you die without being saved, you will go to hell. You will. It's a real place with real fire and real torment. But if tonight you will believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross and that He rose from the dead, and you'll turn to Him in faith, trusting Him to save you and to forgive you, He will forgive you, He'll save you, and He'll change your life. He'll change your life. He'll give you a life that's new. He'll give you a life that's better. He'll give you peace. And He'll give you the assurance that you're going to heaven. I remember when I was a teenager and I finally talked to my dad. And I said, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. And he took the Bible and showed me Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And suddenly I realized I've received that gift. I've received it. I believe it. And then all of a sudden, I had assurance that I was saved. And all of a sudden, what had been so difficult to me before, because before I was trying to be sorry enough and I was trying to turn from my sins and I was trying to live for God, and I couldn't ever do it perfectly and I couldn't figure out how to do it, and I wanted to do it, yet I didn't want to do it. And when I saw that I was saved simply by faith in Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden, I wanted to live for God. It's easy. That's right. It's a work of God. And so if you've never been saved, get saved tonight. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for the work that You're doing in this place. I do pray that You would bless us. If anyone here doesn't know You as Savior, I pray that they would get saved tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and we'll sing a verse of Amazing Grace.